2 Kings chapter 6. This morning I'd like to read to you 2 Kings 6:1-6. 2 Kings 6:1-6. It says, "And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell.' So he answered, 'Go.' Then one said, 'Please consent to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' So the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, 'Pick it up for yourself.' So he reached out his hand and took it." This morning, that's the passage of scripture we're going to be reading. And today I'd like to talk about a growing ministry. And we've seen God bless. And I am so thankful for what God has been doing. As you've been coming to church the last couple weeks, and you've seen the porch out here, and you've seen the way the building looks on the outside, you've seen that God has had a hand in blessing our physical building. But I'd kind of like to talk about the spiritual building and things on the inside, because I think that they need to match together. Because if the building looks great on the outside, but we're a mess on the inside, we've got a problem. I'd rather us look good on the inside and God working on our hearts and growing us and moving us and having us be in a dump than to look good on the outside, but God not working in here. Now, it's important that we do our best to make God's house, the house of worship, look good. And I am just so thankful. I've heard so many comments of how sharp it looks and what God is doing. But I think that this message here is a perfect time for us to look at this. But sometimes when things are going good or things are going bad, we need a positive story. Think about where we are in the narrative of Elisha. You know, he just had the problem with Gehazi. And Gehazi's life had fallen apart, and the guy that had been following him, that he'd been training, he had sinned, he had lied, and leprosy was on him, and things weren't good in that department. And next thing that Elisha's going to face is the Syrians are going to be after his head and want him dead. So tucked right into bad stuff in the spiritual front with the guy that was following after him, Gehazi. And right before the Syrians want his head and want him dead, God tucks this nice little gem of a positive story. And God often does that. He'll stick in a time in our life where there is something amazing, something to encourage us and something to help us out. And sometimes in the midst of those positive things, God does something to show us that even in the smallest of details, he cares. This week, I was having a great day. I'd gone to school. My Bible class took a test, and they were all getting great grades. And as a Bible teacher, when you give kids 100 questions on 3 chapters in the Bible, and they're all getting hundreds, and not all of them, but when I'm seeing all these kids come back and they're able to answer, I'm just excited. I get to science class, and I had a great science class. We were talking about simple machines and physical science class, and it was fun. And I get to my third period, and every day at 10 o'clock, that's my free period. So I get to grade papers. And so I do the same thing every single day. I put fruit on my desk, and I eat an apple, and some carrots, and some grapes, and I grade papers for 40 minutes. And I try and grade as many papers as I can. And so I'm eating grapes, and I've got a bunch of grapes, and I'm pulling one off and eating one, and pulling it off and eating one, and grating some papers, and all of a sudden, one of my grapes falls on the ground. I look, and I look, and I look, and I can't find this grape. It's gone. I'm looking under my desk. I'm looking behind things. It's gone. So I forget about the grape. And I'm having a good day. Geometry class, and I'm praising the Lord. I'm like, this is a wonderful day. And I get into geometry class, and I'm teaching kids, and things are great. And I get done with my geometry class. I turn off the computer, and I go to sit down. I found my grape. Wow. I at that moment, I sent my wife, I said, I just sat on a grape. She just sends me back like all these pictures of like these laughy faces. I'm like, honey, I was looking for some sympathy. And so I saved the grape because it was like, I flattened that grape. My day was like, but it got better. It got better. Because like, I turned that over to the Lord. And I said, I'm not going to, you know, I got half my day. I got to go with junior high kids. So I was just like, I'm just going to make the best of this. And so God was good. By the end of the day, I'd forgotten about, I turned that over to the Lord, and I'd forgotten all about sitting on this grave. And God continued that positive day, that positive story in my life. Sometimes I think when we're having a good day, the devil wants to do just small things to try and ruin our day. And in this story, I look at this story. Let me first of all say, and I'm going to say this again, I believe this story 100%. That an axe head flew off of an axe, ended up in the river, and God caused it to float back to the surface. And I believe it. I believe it. If it's in the Bible and God said it, I believe it. I'm not going to try to rationalize this story or make it fit. It's a miracle. And we have a God that does miracles. We have a God that does small miracles. We got a God that does big miracles. And we have a God that answers prayers. And we're going to look at that this week. First of all, as I think about this, how this story, where God is working and growing in the lives of these people, it's tucked into the middle of these bad times. And instantly, a passage of Scripture that I learned when I was young is Isaiah chapter 43. I'd like you to open in your Bibles to Isaiah 43. And if you do not have Isaiah chapter 43, underline, highlighted, whatever, the first couple of verses, I would encourage you to do that. Because on a bad day, when you feel like everything is being ruined, this is a verse that can encourage you and can help you. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 4, it says, "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who feared you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Zeba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life." As I read this passage of Scripture, I often think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. in the book of Daniel, when they faced things like the fiery furnace, like the lion's den, was Isaiah 43 on their mind? Were they praying during those times as they are being cast into the fiery furnace? God, in the midst of this really bad time in my life, I'm about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Will you be with me? Will you help me, guide me through this? Can I see your blessing in my life? And as I think about what Elisha had been through, Gehazi behind him, and now in front of him will be the Syrians. And here he is, tucked in here is this awesome time in his life. They had outgrown their ministry. And they needed to get a bigger building. And so they began building a building for the Lord. Things were growing, things were booming. Elisha's ministry was, I believe, in reading this passage, taking off. And they need to build. We look in there in 2 Kings chapter 6. It says, "See now the place where we dwell with you is too small for us." They decided that they needed to get together and build a building. Build a building for the Lord, a bigger place. God was blessing Elisha's ministry. We have seen God blessing here. I'm just so pleased as God has been providing, as you know, as we started taking things down around the side of the building, we found some different issues and problems that needed to be addressed. But God has been faithful. And God has been working and growing. And as we build, we need to make sure that we're wise. We read in Matthew chapter 7 just a minute ago about the story of the wise man and the foolish man. A wise man needs to build on the Lord. And I think as we've kind of watched as the siding and the roof has come off and a new beautiful building has come on the outside, we need to make sure that wisdom is a key ingredient in our lives. And that we are praying. And that we are building the foundation. You know, if we've got a good foundation on the outside. And I'm so pleased and feel confident in the work that's being done. But in here, inside, we need to make sure that our foundation is on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, probably this story, probably today, I don't know, is one that's being taught downstairs in Sunday school. Because it's taught so often. You've probably heard this story so many times. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat down on the house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall." I tell you what. A few years ago, I think now, or maybe a year or two, we had to hold services over in the gym. Because we weren't sure that beam over there would be able to continue to hold the weight of the bell. And some people came in and said, "We're not so sure about that structure." So we decided we wanted to build a solid foundation for that bell to sit on. And we decided that we wanted to redo some things around this building to make it more efficient and to make sure that the foundation of that would be sure and fast. And we're thankful that God has provided. But what about our hearts and our lives and your family and your spiritual life and the condition of what's going on in here? Is the foundation on Jesus Christ? You know, I think I mentioned this before, but Don Edwards said that when he did that neat interview about them being married for so long and on that Valentine's Day interview. Anybody see that? Anybody here get a chance to see that? One of the things that Don wanted to make sure that got out there about him and Arlene's relationship was that the foundation it was built on was Jesus Christ. And I went in to see Don the other day and we chatted about that. And he said, we had hard times. Things were difficult. But you want to know what carried us through? Is a relationship and the center being on Jesus Christ. Guess what? Hard times are going to come. You're going to have Gehazis in your life. People that you think are a good example, are a good influence, and they're going to let you down. You're going to have, like Elisha, you're going to have moments where you feel like the whole Syrian army is coming in to try and destroy the work that God is doing. There are going to be difficult times. There's going to be fires that will want to destroy your family, your life, your heart. There are going to be floodwaters that are going to want to drown you. The devil is going to send temptation into your life to try to destroy your life, your marriage, your family, your relationship with the Lord. You need to make sure that your life is built on a solid foundation. These people said, look, this place is too small for us. That's a good problem to have. You know, as a church, we need to have healthy relationships. And we need to let those relationships reproduce themselves. We need to make sure that we as Christians are growing like this ministry was. We need to be involved in evangelism, sharing the Word of God. We need to be involved in discipleship, training up people. We need to make sure that we are actively involved in training leaders for the next generation. As we look around here, I'm so glad that we have some young people in our church to carry on the work. But what are we doing to encourage them to build on a solid foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ? I am so glad, and it gets me excited when I hear someone in church saying, this person is my prayer partner. This person is the person that I go to when I have a need. And we encourage each other. And we admonish each other and we encourage each other to grow. If you don't have someone like that in this church, if you're looking for someone, ask. Maybe it's time that we make sure, begin making sure that you have someone that's going to help you to make sure your foundation is on Jesus Christ. This is the way that faith is designed to work. The Bible talks about old men passing it on to young, their faith and their relationship with Christ onto the next generation. About women passing it on to the next generation of young women. If we're building on the outside, we need to be building on the inside also. The devil would love nothing more than to have us put a new skin on the building and to put a new beautiful porch on the outside and then come inside and destroy it. He'd love nothing more than to do that. He'd love to take sin, heresy, unbelief, and to shut down this church. He'd love to do that at a local Bible college. He'd love to do that at a Christian school. But we need to make sure that we are being obedient. We are teaching the truth and living lives that maintain our Christian faith. Maintenance needs to be done in a physical building and also needs to be done in our spiritual life. As I look at this, I look at Elisha. He was using discipleship to grow. We talked, as we began this study, we talked about how Elijah passed the mantle onto Elisha. And I love the fact that Elisha took and he passed that message on to these group of these prophets. And it's really awesome that the work that God does is not entirely, it's not dependent on you. You can be a part of it. You could be involved. And you should strive and absolutely be doing the Father's business so that one day you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But guess what? God is going to do a great and mighty work. If you were to die today, God can pick up and continue the work that He's begun in you, and He can complete it, can't He? I think as we think about that, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Love this verse. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." When Paul wrote this, he was in prison. And he says to the people at the church of Philippi, if God's begun the work, He's going to complete it. It didn't matter if Paul was there. I believe in my heart that God is going to continue His work. Let's say that God were to, you know, some tragedy were to happen and everyone in, you know, some accident were to happen and everyone in this church was gone. Could God continue a work in Port Crane? Absolutely. He can raise up someone to do a good work. And in this situation that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 6, do you see that this idea to build a bigger building, did it come from Elisha? Absolutely not. The Bible students, they realize this place is too small. We need to build a bigger one. It wasn't Elisha's thoughts. It wasn't his plan. The leaders in a church don't have to have a monopoly on what God's doing. I believe that's the Holy Spirit's job. It's for Him to do the work and for us to follow His path. It needs to be God in His desire and His plan that we follow. You know what? I might have a plan for what's going to go on in church. But if God steps in and says, "This is my plan, and this is the direction I'm going to take it, and it's from the Holy Spirit," and we pray about it, and we see that God's leading, who am I? Who are you to stand in the way? Let God lead and let us follow. It's not about a person. It's about the Lord. And this work needs to be about the Lord. Building projects, physical building projects, involve great personal sacrifice and large-scale individual involvement. The church has to be involved in doing the work. But when we think about building the heart, the same thing is true. It takes great personal sacrifice. If we're going to see God grow the inside and make it beautiful in here as He has done on the outside, we're going to have to sacrifice. We're going to have to, like Christ said, take up our cross daily and follow Him. We need to make sure that we let the Lord lead. And then, all of a sudden, things are going good. But then the ministry has a problem. You know, my day was going good. I was praising the Lord. Everything was going great. And then sat in a grave. And I think about what happened to these people in 2 Kings chapter 6. Things were going great. They're building. They're excited. God's growing. God's working. The students are leading the charge. And Elisha's got to be going, "Yes, Lord, this is what You've got planned. I'll sit back and I'll watch." And isn't this so this is the way that things always happen. Maybe it doesn't always happen to you this way, but this is always what happens to me. Things are going good, and then the axe head falls apart. You know, it falls in the river. And doesn't it always happen to stuff that you borrowed? Your stuff, it's never your stuff that breaks when you're working. It's always something that you borrowed from somebody else. And then you go, oh no, I'm going to tell John what happened. I wasn't being careful. Oh, I don't know. That's what happens to me. Maybe everything goes perfect for you all the time, but I don't think so. The Bible says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Let's look in John chapter 16. Let's look at that verse. John chapter 16. Sometimes Christians are ignorant to the fact that there are going to be problems. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." If you are a Christian, it does not mean that things are going to be perfect all the time. Sometimes it's going to be a little thing that is going to ruin your day. Does God care about those little things? Absolutely. I am a strong believer that if you've lost a key or your keys and you don't know where they are, pray to God, He cares. Because that can ruin your day in a heartbeat, and God will answer. How many times have we as Christians, people who believe in Christ, we get to this moment and a little thing is destroying our day, and we go to God and we pray, and He answers. God also cares about the big things in your life, the things that are destroying your life. And as Christians, sometimes we're going to have big problems. We're going to understand that things begin to fall apart around us. At work, at home, in our life. And sometimes we get discouraged. I walked into the garage. Yeah, I remember when I moved into my house, I put all my tools in their right spot. And the other day I walked in, and I've got this hammer that I really, really like. And I walked in and I went right to where it should be. And it wasn't there. And like, I was so discouraged. I was like, I understood it when I was at camp. Like, I had tools and I got so frustrated with I'd ask some guy at camp to go get a tool and to bring it to me. And I'd say, go put this back. I like laminated where all my tools were supposed to go and hung them on the wall so that the kids would put, do you think they ever got put back? So now at my house, like, I've got like special places where I want like all my tools in my garage. And I needed my hammer the other day, and I went to where it was supposed to be, and it wasn't there. I'm looking around and I'm like, God, this wasn't supposed to happen when I moved away from the camp and those teenagers. God, this stuff wasn't supposed to happen. So I ended up finding a hammer that I didn't like. And I used it, and I remember I was talking to God. I'm like, where is my hammer? So then yesterday, I went out, and I was in the garage. I wasn't even looking for it. Oh, there's my hammer. God cares about little things like that. And God cares about big things. And when your axe head falls apart, and it's something that's borrowed, and you're in the middle of tribulation, God cares. Now, do you feel like you've just been experiencing a bad luck lately? You know, you think about Murphy's Law. If it's going to go wrong, it's bound to go wrong for you. There are some people, maybe Christians even, who think Murphy was an optimist. When things go wrong, don't be a Christian that falls apart. I know that's easier to say than to live. Because sometimes when our world begins falling apart, we know that the right thing to do is to pray and to turn it over to God. And we've seen God answer and intervene and do amazing things over and over again. But when it comes to that moment, that's not what we do. Sometimes you're unable to see the solution. When that axe head fell off and it's ended up in the water, those prophets, those Bible college students, they couldn't see the solution. It was down at the bottom of the river. Sometimes the things that we see in front of us, a child that's run away from the Lord, a spouse that reluctantly for years and years and years has not come to know Christ, a hot water heater that's not working, a prayer life that's not what it should be. We can't seem to get over the hump of reading the Word of God every day. A mortgage that seems out of control. How do we act? I think the first thing that we need to understand is we need to all come to the idea that Hebrews chapter 1 is a big, big, important verse in our life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, as we begin reading the Hall of Faith, maybe the passage of Scripture you don't want me to take it to because it just seems like these are the heroes, the champions of our faith, and it seems like such a little thing will get us down. It says in Hebrews 11 chapter 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And then let me tell you, we read Hebrews chapter 11. We read about guys like Abraham, Moses, David. Those guys all had big problems. Big problems that would destroy a lot of people and got them discouraged. But they had faith in Jesus Christ and He carried them through it. And we need to make sure that we walk by faith. My question for you today is, how do you react? How do you react? Many believers share a non-Christian worldview when it comes to crunch time in their lives. When crunch time, when pressure begins to come from the outside. I know it will. And I know that there'll be hurts and there'll be times where you don't know which way is up, but we don't go to the Lord in prayer. One of the things that we need to realize is that God is bigger than our accidents. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. A verse that we probably all know. We've read it before. We've heard it before. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." The God of the Bible is a good God. Amen. When things are crooked, He can straighten them. When things are broken, He can fix them. And when things are bad, we need to understand that it may fit into part of God's plan. It's so, so important that we take even what we might consider a little thing to God. God can intervene in all of those things. In this story that we read today, in 2 Kings chapter 6, we have a group of prophets of Bible college students who said, "We want to build." And they say, "All right, let's build." And everything's getting exciting. And then all of a sudden, the axe head falls off and ends up in the river. I don't know what God's got in store for you today. Maybe you have an afternoon lunch and nap planned out. But maybe on the way home, you're going to sit on a grape. Or you lose your keys. Or the hot water heater doesn't work. When that happens, whether it be small or big,
Turn it over to the Lord.
Let Him take care of those problems. He cares about you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that You're bigger than our accidents. And Lord, so often we feel like these guys. How could this happen, Lord? It was the borrowed thing. Lord, the axe has fallen off and it's fell into the river. What are we going to do? Lord, I pray that You might help us take verses like Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Help us to react like guys like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the trials come, we come running to You. Lord, I know we've got problems here. Little ones, big ones, all sorts of problems. Lord, collectively as a church body, we say, we offer them up to You. Help our foundation to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to work on the building, the body, inside here. Lord, I thank You for the big building, the beautiful building that You've given us on the outside. For the firm foundation, this building that's going to last for a long time. Now it's our job in here, in our hearts and in our lives, to live for You, to be reproducing the body, to be witnessing, to be evangelizing, to be training. Help us to do that. And Lord, might You work things out together for good, because we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.